Good morning. We're continuing our study in the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to look towards the back of chapter 3, 13 through 18. We are coming into the more gentle, kinder part of the book. Now, as we're going through it, you're going to think this is gentler and kinder. Well, yeah, because a couple of weeks ago we were looking at what he had to say about keeping our tongue from evil, and then next week we'll hit chapter 4, and following weeks we'll be in chapter 4 and 5. So, yeah, this is the kinder, gentler James, these five verses. So go ahead and open up to that passage. Now, I'm gonna name three things, and I want you to tell me what they are. And don't forget, you have to form your answer in the form of a question. Okay? So here they are: World Book, Britannica, and Wonder World. What are encyclopedias? That is right. Very good. So these are a Wonder World. The World Book was really the one that you saw all the time in libraries. Britannica was the one that really had the reputation of some oomph to it, right? That's the one that you really wanted to get a hold of. But Wonder World, what is Wonder World? Well, they looked like this, and they were the books that I grew up with. These are the encyclopedias. These are not actually the encyclopedias I grew up with, but these are on eBay that might actually soon be mine. So anyway, we'll see. Growing up, we had the Wonder World encyclopedias from the late 1940s and the late 1950s. They were about 10 years apart, and my mom decided to buy 10-year-apart encyclopedias. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, people used to make a living going door-to-door selling encyclopedias. That just seems like a whole other world, doesn't it? And it was something that you wanted in the house, and I love them, aren't they? I mean, they're really beautiful, aren't they? And I can remember just how pretty they were. And, you know, they kind of had like a fake leather binding to them, colorful pictures on the outside, some inside, and you open them up, and it's just easy to read. I enjoyed it, and kind of helped me with having a curiosity about things. You know, this is how we got our knowledge. This is how we learn things. Encyclopedias. Or you went to the library and to this thing called a card catalog and pulled out these long drawers with all the little things, and you're just kind of flicking through the little index cards looking for information. But today, we have information all over the place. I mean, just on our phones, we can search things that are beyond anything that we could comprehend back then. And actually, we can't even comprehend what we're searching for now. But there's a bit of a difference. You know, we were driven by finding answers when we went to the encyclopedia. We were looking for something. We were trying to find out a specific thing. Or to the card catalog, we'd open it up. We were on a mission. But have you noticed that we are no longer driven by our knowledge? We are usually driven by clickbait or sensationalized headlines. And then when we click on that a couple times, a couple things, what happens? Well, search engines figure out what you like, and they start feeding you the information. So you are no longer the captain of your knowledge. You're actually being driven along. And you're just focusing on certain things that maybe you haven't even thought about. And that's a danger. Because when we're allowing anything else to drive our thoughts, we're in danger of really taking on the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of the Word. And that's what James is talking about today. And to be really blunt, I think that, especially in the United States, the American church has really taken on the wisdom of the world. And we have to be so careful and guarded about that. I was going to show you a video today. I'm still hoping to get clearance with the copyright. We're very big about copyright things. You know, we make sure we got all of our bases covered the best that we can. And we know that there's a thing about, you know, that you can show it for educational purposes, but then there's a question about church. So we're just trying to get clearance for copyright. So we're not going to be able to show the video today, but I'm hoping maybe in a couple weeks we'll be able to get that and show it, because actually what we're talking about today, James continues in chapter 4, so we'll be able to do this video. But I want to talk about the video a little bit with you. The video's name is "This Video Will Make You Angry." Isn't that a great name? I posted it on my Facebook page and on the church page a couple weeks ago because it actually fit with the message. And if you notice, there's a chart there, and it talks about what drives us to look at and then repost things. Because we do repost things. Sometimes it's just cat memes, right? We repost those things. And sometimes they take off, and sometimes they don't. Well, they did a study about what drives things that we will repost, look at and repost. Anxiety will do that. Awe will do that. Positivity will do that. Emotion, something that's emotionally stimulating will do that. Something that interests you. There's some things like sadness doesn't get any traction. But the number one thing that will get you to repost something is anger. Anger is something that just, we don't even have to practice it. It just comes upon us. And we love to post things that make us angry. Because we want people to feel indignant the same way that we are indignant. But the only problem is that all that does is it starts echoing back and forth. That's my wording, not the video's wording. So when this group echoes, this group echoes it back, usually a little louder, then back and forth, and then it's just filled with angry people, you know, dividing up. And we're seeing that even in our country, sometimes in our churches, people that are just constantly angry, dividing up, attacking one another, and even the middle ground is getting narrow and narrow because they felt compelled that they have to take a side. And there's this symbiotic relationship here because both sides need each other to stay alive. They need each other to continue to propagate their anger. There always has to be somebody else. And the problem is, and once you kind of start arguing back and forth, then that's not good enough. Another way that we feel good about each other is that we gather together and we start talking about the other person or the other group, which is the next illustration. So you know, there's a, you know, the people who are kind of pro flowers in this thing talking about the butterflies. They don't like the butterflies. And so they're perfectly content talking to each other about how much they hate the other group. And when they get together, they talk about that. What, did you see what they did? Did you see what they posted? Did you see what they're trying to pass? Did you see this? Did you see that? And then the other group is doing the exact same thing. And they've used the illustration butterfly and flowers to show that there's a symbiotic relationship. You know, flowers draw butterflies, butterflies pollinate flowers. The video actually talks about it as a brain virus. Because ideas are kind of like a virus. Because they get in, they implant, and then when you share it, it goes to the next person. We know about how viruses spread, right? And the video calls for that we have to be very careful what we're letting in and what we're dwelling on. Not a Christian video, but certainly fits the book of James, which is where we are at now. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? I'm not sure if he meant that as a rhetorical question, but it kind of has a feel of a rhetorical question, doesn't it? Okay, really, guys. Who is wise and understanding among you? We have a lot of knowledge, but do we have a lot of wisdom? Not sure about that. You can be very well educated, but you just don't have any kind of common sense or any kind of street smarts, if you will. Actually, there's a study that was done that said the higher educated that you get, especially like up way up in the PhDs, multiple PhDs, the less street smarts or common sense that you have because you are constantly focusing on your own field and you kind of lose curiosity about others. Not everybody's like that, but a lot to notice. So there has to be there. So we need to understand that it's really easy for us to get into that opinion bias. And I think it's important for us to kind of go back and forth and really try to figure things out. So, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So, remember we talked about James at the very chapter 1, talked about how to look at trials, and that they are opportunity to help you grow in your faith. But also, don't look at temptation in that light, because temptation is trying to wreck your faith. Then chapter 2, James focuses on your works. It's not just your faith needs to be demonstrated by an outward change in your life. It can't just be words only. Then he returns to words and talks about that those are important. And so now he's here again. He's talking about our conduct. And he says, let it be showed in his works in meekness of wisdom. So there needs to be humility about what we do as Christ followers. There should be a gentleness and a kindness about our lifestyle. Not only about how we live, but actually the people that we look towards as our leader, or look towards people that are our admirer. And he goes on, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and he's going to really open this up in chapter 4. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast. Because that's typically what happens, right? You're jealous, you've got this vain conceit, this selfish ambition. It's all about you. It's, you know, me, 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 me. And then if we do that, then we'll be false to the truth. And, you know, we're not demonstrating that there is truth in us. It's certainly not wisdom. And he goes on, this is not wisdom that comes down from above. So, again, he's being very clear. If we're doing this, if we're following this false narrative, this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, that's not from above. That's not from the Word of God. That's not from God. That's not from the Lord. But where is it from? It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Kind of a unholy trinity of things he's mentioning here. And you notice how he kind of takes it down lower and lower. So basically he's saying, listen, it's not really Christian, it's secular. So don't be patterning yourselves under the secular. We do that way too much. And not only is it secular, it's not really spiritual. It's nothing that's going to edify you or anybody else. As a matter of fact, it's demonic. Now, remember, he is talking to Christians. And he is saying your behavior, the things that you are doing, the way that you are acting, out of this vain conceit, this bitter jealousy, that's not Christ. It's more demonic than anything else. And remember, I said this is the softer, gentler part of James. Yeah, chapter 4. Whew, wait till we get there. So he's being very direct. Why is he being direct? Because there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And he's doing it as fast as he can because time is of the essence. And he goes on. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist. Okay, so now he's laying down the groundwork. If you want to know where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, it's really easy by what it produces. There will be disorder and every vile practice. So when there is a practicing, when people are practicing jealousy or selfish ambition, what happens is chaos, disorder, confusion. And people like confusion because when confusion happens, you can get away with a lot of bad things. And it's not only just on the surface thing, it's just how we even feel sometimes. Sometimes we just feel like our lives are in chaos, or that we are kind of, you know, in kind of a disorder. We're agitated, we're upset, we're constantly, you know, being swept from one emotion to another. And we need to be very careful about this. We see this all the time when people are pushing their specific agenda out of selfish reasons. There will always be confusion. Now, he makes short work of this. He pretty much says what is bad, and then he moves to what is good. But the wisdom from above is pure. That means there's an integrity to it. He's letting them know that their practice, what they are doing as Christ followers, is demonstrating a lack of spiritual integrity. So there has to be a pure thing. Then peaceable. Are you a person of peace? Or of confusion? Or of anger? Chaos. Do we have a gentleness about us? Would somebody say that we are kind? Open to reason. And I love this phrase. You know, I never liked the phrase open-minded, because people usually say that. They say, well, you just should be open to anything. I understand what they're saying, but I think this open to reason is a much better phrase. Are we open to reason? Can somebody share something with us and show us that maybe something that we have that we are thinking is right isn't right? Can we even be able to get our heads around that? Full of mercy and good fruits. Do we tend to be forgiving? Maybe give us a second chance. Do our lives demonstrate that? That people around us feel like we're safe to be around. Are we impartial? Can we actually say, well, you know, this person has some different opinions than I do, but you know what? I can still be their friend. I don't have to think ill of them. And are we sincere in what we believe? You know, a lot of Christians, a lot of people come across as insincere. And people catch up on that. I mean, we catch that. You ever get those people who just seem awfully friendly all of a sudden, and what do you think? What do you want, right? What are you going to try to sell me? And what's the harvest? The harvest of righteousness. What is the harvest of righteousness? What is it that if we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're living by God's word, it's sown in peace by those who make peace. So see, it's very clear. He says that in chapter 16, there's disorder. And then, but the Christian will sow peace. And I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves, am I even at peace? Or am I always agitated? Am I always angry? Am I always upset? Listen, if we're always angry, if we're always upset, that means that we are allowing something into our lives that we should not be allowing in. Because it's taken too much from us. And I'll tell you, I think the 24-hour news stations have done more harm. Because too many people, too many of you in here and at the early service spend way too much time watching it. Because you can just tell there's always anger I watch it 15 minutes a day. I get the bulk of it, and life is so much better because I fill it with other things that are a lot better, like scripture and fellowship with friends and things like that. But if you're watching Fox News or if you're watching CNN all the time, you're just going to be a person of chaos. And not to get smart chaos, I'm talking about the real chaos. So we need to ask ourselves, where do we dwell? Do we dwell in the wisdom from the world where jealousy and selfish ambition exist? Well, how do you know? Because there's disorder in every vile practice. But do we live with wisdom from above, or if you want to keep the W's going, wisdom from the Word instead of the world? But the wisdom from above is pure. Notice jealousy and selfish ambition versus pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason. Over the last decade, Christian church in the United States and worldwide, but really in the United States, has lost a lot of integrity. Because we have gone the primrose path of the world. We have started admiring people that we should not be admiring. People who are jealous and selfish ambition and have selfish ambition. How do we know that? Because they cause confusion. They practice vile, they encourage vile practices. You know, we see that in churches sometimes. This little group over here talks about that group over there. That group over there talks back. They spread rumors. They cause confusion. And then they show up to a church business meeting and they go for hours. We know what that's like from years ago, right? Been to churches. I've been to several churches where they go for hours. Which is, I really appreciate the fact that the business meetings here go for a very short time. But there's a confusion about that. We also do that with the people we admire. Why don't you just think about that? I know we're in church. Who do you admire? Oh, Jesus, right? Jesus is always the right answer for that question. But the reality is, who are we promoting? Who do we actually admire? Who are the people that we say that this is a great person or this is a great leader? So are they kind of selfish ambition? Do they practice disorder? Do they are they people of integrity? Are they peaceable? Are they gentle? Are they open to reason? Are they full of mercy? You know, good fruits, impartial, and insincere. If they're not those things, they're not people we should be admiring as leaders. And it's easy to get caught in this. And I know talking about politics a lot, but politics is a big thing right now in our country. There are leaders that some people admire that have not only excused, but kind of encouraged the torching of some of our cities. And we should not admire them. And there are some leaders that are okay and make excuses for the assault on the United States Capitol. And you know what? We should not admire them. And if James were here and you were saying that you admire any of those people, he would say there's a problem with your spirituality. And this is why the church in the United States has lost so much integrity. We need to be people who are first integrity, have integrity about what we believe. We need to be gentle and peaceable, full of mercy and goodness and good fruits, impartial, sincere in what we believe. We need to have this wisdom from above. And what did James chapter 1 tell us? If we lack it, we should pray for it. Not excuse bad behavior. And what happens is a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So can we actually say the conversations that we are having with people lead them to peace or lead them to anger? Are they leading them to righteousness or leading them to confusion? Do the people that we admire actually look like Jesus? Those are the things that we need to ask ourselves. Because then we would understand the question, are we wise and understanding?